Going to talk about a book that has been out for, I think, over 20 years, but has gone through a new revision. It's a bestseller, 500,000 out there. Everything you need to know about getting a financial life. The title is Get a Financial Life, Personal Finance in Your 20s and 30s. The author is Beth Kobliner, and she joins us now. Nice to meet you this way. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, great to meet you. Thank you. I'm well.
This, I'm obviously way past the age that this is intended for, but I did go through it. I went through it page by page, and a couple of things struck me. One is, I thought, well, I know that, so why wouldn't a young person know this? And then I thought, well, I've gone through that because I've experienced buying homes, I've experienced marriage, I've experienced getting out on my own. When you think about this book and the need for this book, why were you led 20-plus years ago to do the first edition?
Right. Well, 20-plus years ago, I was a writer at Money Magazine, and I had been writing about personal finance at that point for 5 or 6 years, and I was still in my 20s. And so I decided it was time to write a book for, at that time, my peers. They call them Gen X. And so I wrote the book, and at the time, a lot of publishers said, people don't care about this topic, but obviously they did. And now, 20 years later, I thought it was time to really rewrite, redo it in a way that speaks specifically to the millennial generation, those people in their 20s and 30s, and the specific problems that they faced. And I have a child now she's in her 20s, and I have two boys that are almost in their 20s. So it really has a lot of relevance for me as well.
Let me ask you this. When you sat down and wrote it the first time and you said you were like a target audience at that point in time, what did you find that you were most surprised in your own experience that as you put this book together, you didn't know?
The amount of credit card debt that people accumulated in college. When I graduated in the late 80s from college, it was so easy to get a credit card. You can just basically literally sign your name and you were sent a credit card. I know one woman who told me she went to a frat party and she came out with a credit card. I mean, it was kind of a crazy situation. Colleges had tons of banks on their campus offering credit cards. And now, in 2009, President Obama passed the CARD Act, which basically said you can't get a credit card unless you're 21 or you have an income to pay that credit card or someone co-signs it with you who has credit. And that really changed the game, I think, for the better. I think it made kids in college realize that they can't get a credit card so easily. And as a result, this millennial generation, one good thing is they have much less credit card debt to their name. And I think they're a little fearful of credit card debt, as they should be, I think in an appropriate way. What they do have, of course, is student loan debt. So for me, the big surprise when I was in my 20s 20 years ago was how much credit card debt my friends had. And, you know, they really couldn't figure out what they used, what they paid for. Was it pizza in college? Was it makeup? This generation, not so much. They don't have a lot of credit card debt, but they do have student debt, a median level of $15,000, and they have to figure out ways to pay that off.
I learned a lot about credit cards by reading your book because I grew up in a house that didn't have credit cards. And the thing that also strikes me as I was reading the book is I was trying to think, I'm trying not to be judgmental, and you are not being judgmental, but my question that I kept wondering was, why aren't parents teaching their kids some of these basics?
Well, it is a great question, and I understand why you feel that way, because my parents were both educators. My dad was a principal, my mom was a chemistry teacher, then a stay-at-home mom, but they really taught us. They did have credit cards, but they would never dream of paying it, you know, paying interest. They just used it for convenience. They paid it off in full every month throughout their 65 years of marriage. My father got a lot of pride in the fact that he never made a late payment. He never, you know, paid interest. And so I think it's not being taught in schools. I have another book that just came out last month, which I'm happy to report also made the bestseller list, but it's called Make Your Kid a Money Genius, Even If You're Not, and it speaks exactly to that, how to teach kids about what they need to know. And research shows starting at age young as 3, they can understand basic money concepts like exchange and all the way up to age 23. So that's Get a Financial Life. That's Make Your Kid a Money Genius. And Get a Financial Life really talks to that age group who unfortunately didn't learn this. And now they're dealing with it in a very direct way with the high student loan debt. And I talk about how you can, there are a range of new repayment plans. That's the other good news. There are new repayment plans like something called Pay As You Earn, where you can get lower monthly payments, and then your loans are forgiven after 20 years. So if you can qualify for that, or a variety of other programs that can help you, it's, and a lot of kids don't know about it. They just don't know where to go for the information. It's actually studentaid.gov/repayment estimator. You know, I go through all those kind of facts in the book to help people have the tools that are online and so much easier to use than they were. They didn't even exist 20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
So as long as you know where to go, you can really learn.
Beth Koblinger is our guest again for a couple of more moments. Get a Financial Life is what we're talking about. But then she introduced us to her new book. I want to say this. I am an old first-time father. So I'm in my 60s. My daughter is going to turn 14 in a few days. So it's an interesting, huge gap of generations there. So I'm reading the book a couple of nights ago, and I said, I'm going to have you read this book in a couple of years. And she said, well, Dad, when I'm a sophomore in high school, I'm going to have to take a personal finance class or something like that. And I said, I don't care. You should still read this. And the interesting thing is, when you're talking about loans for college and higher education, she asked me, she said, will I have a loan to go to college? And I said, we're trying not to make you have a loan. And then when I got to thinking, she asked me about my experience, how different it is 40 years later, because I got through college without taking out any loan. But of course, college was a lot cheaper then than it will ever be in her dreams for her education.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. And one thing I would tell you is 2/3 of kids do take out loans, and the federal student loans she'd qualify for are actually, the interest rates are really low. And there's even some evidence that shows when kids have some skin in the game, when they contribute to college, whether it's putting some cash or actually, you know, getting a federal student loan, they actually have higher GPAs because they feel like they are involved and they are more vested in their education. So I think for parents in general, not having any loans, you know, it's great if you can do it, but it's not such a horrible thing for your kid to have a low interest rate loan. And that interest, by the way, will be deductible on their taxes. So, you know, I think that's all in Make Your Kid a Money Genius, which, you know, I should probably send to you, because that's really something about, you know, and it's amazing that your 14-year-old asked that question.
Yeah.
Because that shows she's already thinking about it and very thoughtful about it. And I do think, you know, being mindful of money at young ages, we know really has an impact on how people spend their money when they get older. So good for you.
I know I'm going to have to let you go in just a moment. I would say this, your section when you were talking about whether or not to start a 529, which would be a college savings plan, I thought that advice was interesting. I'm not sure if I've actually followed that the 13 years ago when we started one for my daughter. You were talking about maxing out your 401k or your IRAs rather than starting the 529. I thought that was an interesting discussion. Gave me pause for thought. And then the last thing, if you could just comment real briefly, you talk about writing this book now and it's current form for the millennials, the workplace situation that they're going to is so different than what I went into, and they're not going to probably stay at a job for 30 or 35 years, for 5 years.
Not even for 5 years.
Yeah,
they're really more mobile, and it's a gig economy, and they're not getting, they may be working at a few jobs at once and not getting health insurance and not getting 401ks. So really, it's more important than ever before for them to pay attention to, okay, I'm not getting health insurance. Well, I have to get it. I have to stay on my parents' plan till I'm, you know, 26. Or I have to make sure to sign up for a Roth IRA if I don't have a 401k. Yeah. So all those things are more important to teach this generation about, because they may not be getting it from their employer.
Get a Financial Life is something that people should get, because it is a pretty straightforward, very simple, very fast-moving book, personal finance in your 20s and 30s. Beth Koblinger, thank you very much. I enjoyed the interview and enjoyed the book. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it too.